I don't know if you've ever spent any time on the Vatican website, but it's really a great kind of treasure trove that has all of the writings and sermons of the recent popes, all the way back actually to Pope Leo XIII, who died in 1903. And not long ago, for my spiritual reading, I went back and I started just reading the homilies of Pope St. John Paul II over his many years as pope. Took me a number of months until I got to the end, to what you would think is his last homily, because it's the last one you can find there, on January the 14th, 2005, a homily he gave at a funeral mass for one of the cardinals. And yet, this actually was not the last homily of John Paul II, at least not according to George Weigel, whose biography of the Holy Father is considered by many to be kind of the definitive biography of this great pope. Weigel says that, in fact, the last homily of St. John Paul II was also his longest. It lasted 2 months. You all get antsy when we go for more than 10 minutes. From February the 1st, 2005, when John Paul II was hospitalized because of breathing problems, until his death on April 2nd. Weigel, he says, was not one of a homily of the spoken word, but instead, the saintly pope taught us by the way he embraced his cross during the last 2 months of his pontificate and of his life. The last homily of St. John Paul II was when he taught us how to suffer. The cross. How much, if we're honest, we would prefer to have Christ without the cross. It's no less true of us than it was of St. Peter, who we heard in the gospel today cry out, "God forbid, Lord," when Jesus told him and the other disciples that he was going to suffer greatly. And indeed, were it not for our sins, for the sins of humanity, we could have had Christ without the cross. Suffering was not God's idea. It is the fallout of the choice our first parents made to turn away from God in disobedience in favor of their own ideas for how things should go. God had created this perfectly ordered world where there was a kind of balance. Everything was in equilibrium. But once this evil was introduced into the world, everything fell out of balance, and suffering became a necessary part of the human experience because our world is fallen, our world is broken. Many want to blame God for all the suffering in this world, but as one Catholic speaker has said, we're not living in the world that God made. We're living in what we have made of the world that God made. And so we face suffering in this world. Some years back, it was during my last year of seminary when I was a transitional deacon. I was volunteering with the young adult group from the parish where I was assigned at an ecumenical service project. People from various different Christian churches around the area had come together for this event. And at one point, I found myself working side by side with this Protestant woman who, as the conversation went on, I realized was attempting to disavow me of some of my Catholic superstitions. As you may know, in most non-Catholic churches, there's a cross, but without the corpus, the image of the body of Christ. And so at one point, this woman remarked, "I don't understand why you Catholics keep Jesus on the cross. He's not on the cross. He's risen." And I've always regretted that I didn't have a ready answer for her in that moment, but it prompted me to reflect a bit. And it led me to come to this realization. It's certainly true, the body of Christ is no longer hanging on a cross outside of Jerusalem. But we also speak about ourselves, the church, as the body of Christ, do we not? That's what St. Paul teaches, actually, in his letters. At baptism, you and I become members of Christ's body. And even though that physical body of Christ is no longer hanging on the cross outside of Jerusalem, is it not true that the body of Christ, his church, you and I, are in fact still on the cross? Do we not face all kinds of suffering in our lives? Physical ailments and injuries, mental illness, emotional difficulties, temptations and doubts. We have suffering. The body of Christ is still on the cross. One of the things that I love about Catholicism, when people ask me why I'm Catholic, I like to say it makes sense of everything, our faith. There's nothing that doesn't find meaning in what our church teaches. There's no aspect of our human spirit experience that's not accounted for. And that includes our suffering. We keep Christ on the cross before us to remind us that we're not alone when we suffer, and that our suffering is not empty. It actually has a purpose. The crucifix tells us that suffering is not an obstacle in the way of my relationship with Christ. God has entered into suffering. He chose to suffer with us and for us. He took it upon himself. He's with us right in the midst of our own suffering. So great is the mercy and compassion of the heart of God. And what is more, the crucifix tells us that we, the body of Christ, have a part to play in the redemption of the world. The church speaks of redemptive suffering, by which she means that because you and I truly are members of the body of Christ, when we suffer, we have this opportunity to unite our sufferings to the cross of Christ, and it will, without fail, bear fruit. What was the fruit of Christ's cross? It was the salvation of the world. And now our Lord Jesus invites us to share in that by uniting our sufferings to his and offering them with him to the Father. You see, this is part of the genius of God's plan for the world. Suffering is the just consequence of sin. So God permits it. But he does something even more amazing than perhaps we think he could do by just wiping it all away. He uses suffering for good. He turns it into, he transforms it into something great. Suffering embraced and offered, it always bears fruit. Fruit that we may not, and we more often than not, do not see clearly in this life, but we will see it in the next. I think one of the great joys of heaven will be to meet people who say to us, thank you. Thank you for denying yourself and taking up your cross, for offering your sufferings with Christ. Because you did, I received this grace. Because you did, I was led here. That's the power of suffering, embraced and offered with Christ. We have an opportunity to live this here at Holy Mass, here where the cross is made truly present, day after day on the altar of our parish church. We're invited to participate in the Mass in a particular way at the offertory, when the wine is poured into the chalice. Christ, when he was in his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his death on the cross, he called his coming suffering a chalice. And he prayed, Father, take this chalice away from me, but not my will, yours be done. So in that moment, when the wine is poured into the chalice, in our hearts we're invited to pour our own sufferings into the chalice, here on the altar, with the wine. so that our sufferings can be united to the cross of Christ, truly present in the Holy Eucharist and offered to the Father. Maybe your cross is really heavy right now. Maybe not. But we all have them. We all have our crosses. Let's pour our sufferings into the chalice with the wine. Offer them to Christ and trust that if we persevere in this spirit of self-offering, our sufferings will not be wasted. They'll not be empty or meaningless. They will bear fruit. Fruit of our own salvation and that of others. Fruit that will cause us even greater joy and gratitude in the kingdom of heaven. St. Patrick, pray for us.